Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting broadcast of Deep Coffin and Deep. I am your host, Jeremy Lopez, and today I want to talk to you about some things that actually one of my dear close friends, and I'm going to call her out here, Sherrod Williams, has been a very dear friend of mine for years. And the other day I was talking to her through the messaging of Identity Network's Facebook page, and which sometimes I'm on there, by the way, and sometimes I'm not. But basically we were talking about certain things, about certain things changing her life, of my teachings and stuff, and I want to be able to respond in our podcast, if I could, for something that I believe many of you have questioned, many of you have asked about, many of you have wondered, you've pondered. Now, if I had, once again, 5 days in this podcast, I would totally say I would love to introduce many of you to Hebrew and Greek words, because that's one thing I studied within school, of bring to you breaking down of all these words to let you know exactly what they really mean, which I believe would be more liberating for each and every one of you to understand how to respond. So I'm going to basically entitle this podcast, how to respond to today's situations. How do I respond? How to respond to today's situations? And the reason why is simply because of that. When I was talking to my friend Sharon, God just kept on stirring and stirring over again in my spirit to help sort of bring a little bit of clarity. Many of you have even said, Jeremy, your courses and classes on basically how to see through God's eyes, which you call visual, which is all through the Bible, and your classes on living in the now moment, you're teaching us about the power of the mind and how the mind actually has the potential, because of God, to say let there be, that if we think let there be, there's going to be a manifestation of let there be in the natural. Why? Because we're learning now through science, but more importantly than anything, even outside of science, is learning from the Word of God, that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That we're learning the process that thoughts really do manifest as things in our lives, no matter what it is, good, bad, and ugly. So we're learning the power of God that works in us, because God breathed that ruach wind of God in us, and when he blew that ruach, that wind, that air in motion, the Hebrew says, about it, and which is also another terminology for wind and air and spirit. And so when he breathed his spirit, his air, his ruach in us, then he breathed the part of his mind into us, the part of the DNA in us, that no matter if we're in Christ or out of Christ, no matter what we begin to say in our lives, that our lives would bow to the idea of the atoms here on earth, beginning to understand that atoms, the Adamic race on earth, was here to rule and reign. God created the atoms, A-D-A-M-S, the Adams and the Eves, if I can say that, on earth to rule and reign over creation. That's what Genesis makes it very plain about. And so when God breathed his ruach into us, that means that we have the power in us. Now, let's say, for example, we're dealing with life today situations and life's, situations we're dealing with, of how to respond to the evil in our world, how to respond to what's going on in our world, good, bad, and ugly, things we don't agree with, things that might be against God's word, for God's word, whatever. But we have to take it back to Genesis, because everything starts from the foundation piece of what God has initiated within the Word. And so if we look at that, we realize that even through the good, the bad, the ugly, God still breathed into humanity, because the Adamic race, people, human beings, and if you really want to get technical, and most people don't realize, this is not New Age, folks. This is Hebrew and Greek we're talking about. But when you get technical about the word human, the word hue comes from a word of colors and different flavors of colors, if I can say it that way, and different ways, which actually is also another word for glow and light, and you get human, which actually is a trait of light man or God man, because of the fact that we are made in his image and likeness. And we are partakers of his divine nature. And so when God breathed his breath of life into us, and he ruwalked into us, what that means is God didn't make a mistake to say, man, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish to myself I hadn't done that, because now on earth I've got a bunch of crazy people walking around manifesting crazy things, be it I have also some good things, some good people in the body of Christ who are manifesting godly things. And here's the idea. God knew what would happen. There wasn't a plan B. God knew from the very get-go, the very beginning, what would happen. And he knew that as human beings that we would be supreme here on earth, in the sense of, when we say the word supreme, don't freak out on me, what he means by that is knowing that we are called, as Genesis says, to rule and reign on earth, to dominate on earth. He told that to Adam, then he turned around after the flood and told that to Noah. Go and multiply, go and produce, go and have dominion upon this and this and this. Why? Because we have dominion on earth. And that thing of dominion means that we also have that ruach in us, which is likened to, which actually means, not likened to necessarily, of wind and spirit. So because of that, there is a potentiality of a creative level in us that supersedes what religion has tried to teach us. If religion has tried to teach us for so many years these avenues of we're horrible, we're sinners, we'll never amount to anything. But yet, according to the Word of God, we're dealing with the aspect that we're made in His image and likeness. And so therefore, did we fall through creation of what Adam did? Absolutely we did. But it didn't mean it took away the power. It didn't mean it took away the DNA in us. Just because human or mankind fail did not mean God ripped His DNA out of us. That's why we have people on earth who the rich get richer, the poor get poor. And it's very interesting to me because that's just the reality of it, folks. Because people suffer from lack of knowledge, therefore they don't know how to treat money. And if you don't know how to treat money, you don't know how to treat people, you don't know how to treat your job, you don't know how to treat yourself, then guess what? The more that you think about yourself and these issues of money and people and fame and power or the good things or the bad things, no matter what it is that you how you think about these things, if you think it from a level of demented, of religiosity of traditions that make the Word of God of none effect, then if you think from that level, because here's the reality of it. How come the Word of God was of none effect? Because there was traditions, and traditions in that town made the Word of God of none effect. What are traditions? Traditions are things that you believe in the brain. You believe in the mind. You believe in the heart. If my belief, if my tradition sits here and tells me, you know, over and over again that the reality of my life is, you know, that I'll never amount to anything. God wants me to live a poor life, you know, whether I take a vow of poverty or God wants me to, you know, not think highly of myself than I should or whatever it is that religion and tradition teaches me about, then what happens is if I'm constantly under sermons of how bad I am, how horrible I am, and, you know, you'll never amount to anything and thank God, you know, just all this other stuff, then I'll believe that stuff and guess what? Then I make the Word of God because of my belief of my thoughts, my belief of what it is that I believe in my heart is real for me, then those realities, and see, the reality is not in the natural. The reality has to start within the reality of what it is that's inside of you. Are you with me? Because here's the reality. Here's life. How's our life works, okay? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Why? Because what it is you're thinking in your heart actually becomes who you really, which that you really think your world exists of. And so, for example, if you look at killers, you look at murderers, you look at their lives of torment, you look at their lives of all the things they've done in their lives before they started murdering, you look at all the fragmentations, the abandonments, the rejections, the traits that starts off at a young age of these, you know, early symptoms of this and that. Why? Because they here's what happens. They create their own world. They start creating their world inside of them of the reality that they believe is real. And that's why some of these people that go on killing sprees, they have no issue with killing people. They have no issue at all. Why? Because they have been, because not only are they fragmented, they're wounded badly, and they're sort of distorted in their view. They're totally distorted on their view of all these different things because they've created a world inside of them that life is just not important. And so therefore, you can't expect someone who doesn't see the life and the value of their own life see the life and value important in anyone else's life. So they create a world for themselves of how life is just worthless. It doesn't matter. And so I have no problem going around killing people because I'm not shocked to it anymore. Now, many people would say to me, you know, things such as, well, where's the devil coming to play with this? You know, that's just all this is just totally demonic. You know, how can we say that we create this reality and you know, where's the devil playing a role in this? Very simple, folks, very simple. Because if you look at the reality of the enemy and Satan goes about as a roaring lion seeking him whom he may devour and the Bible says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, you'll realize that if you really study right there in that verse where the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, folks, the enemy right there in that verse is not even dealing with the Satan. I have news for many of you. Not that Satan's not, but it's not even dealing with that. If you read the chapter beforehand, you'll understand that the enemy is traditions of men that make the Word of God not effect. It's religiosity. The enemy is your thoughts. The enemy actually are the things that you believe. Read it, folks. Read it for yourself above that. The enemy is the very things of religion and traditions that are killing us as we speak right now. And so it's not, it didn't say, beforehand, it didn't say the devil, never even said the devil beforehand. And so you have to understand the Word for what the Word says and get out of your, you know, our old, you know, religious thinking and traditions that we, especially as Pentecostals, Charismatics, God love them, that they want to blame all the time as it's always the devil. Well, folks, the devil's not as powerful as you think he is. You know, you have to take responsibility for yourself like Adam should have and quit blaming Eve and say, it's my responsibility. I created this by the enemy's delusions, by the enemy's seeds he planted implanted in my mind. I'm the one that began to build this belief system. I'm the one that began to construct. And we're not even talking about just religion. Belief systems are things that you believe. And you know, look at ISIS. ISIS has a belief system. As tormenting and as warped and as demonic as they are, folks, I have news for you. They've construed and built for them a city in their brain that is basically a belief system. And so the reality is first of all manifested with inside of them that deals with a belief system that everyone must bow to these rules, this God, this and this and this. And that's why they have no issue whatsoever killing people. And that's why worship people like myself and you are shocked because, God, how can they do this to people? Because to them it's not a big deal. Why? Because we're not in a world of a belief system that they've believed and they've worshipped and they've created for themselves. I'll give you another great example. And I know I'm giving a lot on this broadcast, but I want to be able to sort of bring some clarity of today's responses, okay? Look, for example, Adam and Eve. And you might say, you know, and I'm going to bring this around to sort of tie together. Look at Adam and Eve. Look at the fact of their children, you know, Cain and Abel. You know, when, you know, Cain slew Abel, and the Bible talks about he ran out of God's presence, and the Bible goes on to say how he built his own city. And he named that city after this, after the child of his firstborn son. He built the city, folks, and he named it after his own son. And so you see the passing down of that same tradition. That same belief of who he is, of his own nature, not the divine nature of Jesus, but or God, but his own nature. And because of that, guess what happens? He caused something to come out and through his own flesh of a belief system that he created of a city that was first in his mind, in his belief, before he created it in the natural. And so all through the Bible, folks, I have news for you. All through the Bible, everything is built upon thoughts becoming things. And the enemy has a huge role to play in this. But yet here's the thing, here's the reality of our lives is the enemy can do nothing unless we willingly, stupidly, begin to yield to that. Remember, unless he finds a foothold, he can't do anything. And so unless we yield to giving into the thoughts. But why? Because he knows. Here's the truth of it, folks. Because the enemy knows that if I can get a human, made in the image and likeness of God, if I can get a human to believe my lie, they will build it, they will create it, and they will manifest it. Why? Because the enemy can't create anything, but he knows we can. And so he puts in our minds to create the world that he wants, and it happens every single day of our lives. So there's where the enemy, for those of you who want to know about the enemy, there's where the enemy comes into play. But eventually, or actually initially, you're the one that creates the world. In your own thought process. You're the one that creates your own belief system. You're the one that creates your own religiosity. You're the one that creates it according to how you were raised and what you want to believe. And you create your city or your idol or your world or your own creation within your own soul, mind, will, and emotions. And that's just going to begin to manifest in your life. It's plain and simple. We see it every day of our lives all through the world. And so it's right here. It's right there in front of our eyes. And so that's how the world runs. Now then, I'm going to tie all this together for you to where you understand on this podcast. And once again, if I had time, I'd love to be able to bring in more, you know, really all, you know, the foundations of the building blocks of, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept when it deals with Greek and Hebrew words, but for the sake of time, we just can't in a podcast. But if you look at how this ties together, you will understand that how this happens is when that goes on, how do we respond to life situations today? So here's the way it works. We respond to life situations in our nation and in other nations by, first of all, resisting the enemy mentally, resisting the enemy, and he will flee from us. Quit being, you know, not building paradigms, you know, within our brain that actually was something that was a seed planted inside of us by him, because only he knows that we can cause it to water and grow. In fact, let me give you another scripture on that verse, for example. The Bible even mentions that, you might water, some are called to plant, some are called to water, but God gives the increase. I think it alludes to Paul and Apollos. You know, Apollos, you'll water, Paul, you'll plant, but God gives the increase. Something to that nature. But the reality is that most of us understand that it's the watering, it's the building, and then God gives the increase on what it is that is in our brain as far as something that will build the kingdom of God that needs to manifest in our world. Okay? And so that's how reality works. And so that's how, you know, the seed time and harvest works mentally within our soul. So then, we go through life and we're sitting here saying, well, what do I do about this? You know, how do I vote? How do I do this? Because I don't know how to respond to today's situations. Here's what you have to do. You have to learn to manifest what it is that you know that Christ did here on planet Earth. When Christ was on Earth, what did He do? Here's how Christ put into motion what I'm talking to you guys about today on as far as podcasts, when it deals with creating your world within your own soul, thoughts becoming things, all this stuff. Jesus alluded to it almost every single time He came into an audience of people. Because of the fact He said, look, let's talk about adultery for a moment. He said, you know, you've heard this, and I like how Jesus says stuff a lot. He'll say, you've heard it said, you know, it is written this, it is written that, because He's trying to get the people to understand, you know, remember how the scripture was read to you, remember how the scripture was written to you, remember how it was taught to you. Well, here's what I say to you. And so He updates them by saying, but here's what I tell you, that behind the scenes, the foundation is really this way. And if you've noticed that in everything He talked about, Jesus brought forth a type of getting people off of, hey, here, you can heal on the Sabbath day. Oh, but we can't heal on the Sabbath day, God. The law says it. Everything was based on a natural thing. And this is one thing that I wish to God I could get the charismatic and Pentecostal, and really the whole church as a whole, the Baptist, I wish I could get the whole church to see from a scripture point of view, is Jesus fought so hard to get people to understand that all that He wanted for them to understand was everything revolves around and in and through the heart. Everything does. And we're so adamant about looking on the outside about what we see and feel when He told us not to do that. We're so adamant about walking by sight and not by faith, which we're really good at doing when we think we're not, but we are. We're so good at looking at the natural of who's the president, who's the vice president. Not that we shouldn't care, because we should care. Absolutely, because this is our country. This is the world we live in. But so it's not about an extremity of we don't need to care at all to we need to pour everything we can and get political about it. This is not an extremity to either or, folks, because that's one thing that religion teaches you is there's such an extremity. You have to either be, you know, on fire or you're totally not at all, you know. And if people even understood that scripture from the book of Revelation, it has nothing to do with that. It's not talking about, you know, we look at the word gray and we think gray is such an evil area. But gray, folks, is a beautiful color. It's a popular color now. I have a gray all through my walls in my home. Gray areas are not evil. It doesn't mean that you're not on fire for God. It doesn't mean that you're cold against God. Gray areas, a lot of times, are finding the common grounds for people where you'll be able to be wise as a serpent. When you're dealing with wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove, folks, you're dealing with the middle ground. You're dealing with gray areas. Okay? Because being wise as a serpent doesn't mean that you go to him, you blast him with Jesus, you blast him with scripture. It has nothing to do with that at all. So wisdom speaks of the areas of gray areas of, let me see how I can methodically come into your life, find a common ground, and woo you over by meeting your need, meeting you where you are, and then slowly and gently and methodically pull you on over into understanding there's a greater place for you to live and be in your life. Okay? So that's one aspect of it. The other aspect of Jesus trying to, you know, get us to the place of getting our eyes off of everything in the natural is you can't heal on the Sabbath day. Well, you know what? Jesus, like, you know, I don't care about your natural, what you go by, what you see or feel. I'm not after that anymore. I'm gonna heal on the Sabbath day because I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. That's what He says. You know, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. So He's letting you know all through the New Testament, you know, through the four Gospels especially, that I don't care about anything you're doing in the natural. That's not what I'm after. I'm not after that at all. And that's why even when it deals with music, you know, and of course, trust me, man, I love music. I love instruments. I love to get in my church service. I go to my church and where music is, man, I love the instruments and all the music and the worship team. It's just, we crank it up and we go for it. We clap our hands, get excited. But one of the things that we can't forget about, folks, is if we want to get technical about it, now this is where a Church of Christ person would think, if we want to get technical about it, okay, the New Testament doesn't allude, besides the book of Revelation, doesn't even allude to instruments. It really doesn't. I mean, as much as I hate to say that, it really doesn't. But one thing it does allude to that Jesus is trying to get us to understand is make music and melody in your heart. Okay? So there's another aspect of saying, I'm not concerned about this anymore. What I'm concerned about is what you're making music in your heart. So not only is Jesus talking about the thought process of your heart, now he's talking about the music of your heart. He's not talking about no longer the Sabbath day of the natural. He's talking about the Sabbath day of your heart now. He's dealing with all these areas. Everything revolves around and in and through inside of you. Christ in you. You know, when he came to the earth, he was Emmanuel, God with us. That's, if something is with me, if my cat is here with me, my cat's on the outside of me, for example, then I can see my cat. It's outside of me, so I'm going to go by what I see or feel. If my cat becomes a part of me, somehow that wouldn't happen, but I don't know how it would supernaturally. But if my cat lived inside of me, then I can't go by what I see or feel. It would be about the heart now of what I'm sensing and feeling inside of me, how the two become one. That's how Jesus wants it to be with you, okay? And so then he alludes to the fact that basically, I'm not Emmanuel with you anymore, folks. I'm not living outside of you. I am now Christ in you, the hope of glory. So there's another one where it alludes to it's about the heart issue. And then you go into the adulterous affair. You know, Jesus made it very plain. Hey, look, you know, and here it is, a group of people talking about the laws and adultery and not committing adultery. But Jesus said, look, guys, you know what? You've missed it again. Once again, you're still going by your Old Testament way of thinking. You're still going by what you're doing naturally and how good you think you are because you're not committing adultery naturally. But yet when a woman walks by you or a man walks by you, you still lust in your heart. You're still bringing forth the image. Now catch this. Are you guys with me? You're still catching the image or the thought of what's going on in your heart. And here's another place with thoughts becoming things on the same level here. He's making it very plain even here. Hey, look, it's about you committing adultery in your heart. And if you've done it on your heart, you've still done it. And here's where this even comes into play. So once again, God love him. I tell you, here's the Lord of hosts trying his best to teach us. And yet we get today in the Pentecostal Charismatic Movement, and we just revert all the way back to the Old Testament. We go all the way back and talk about everything that's natural. We want to get political now all of a sudden. We want to start going by everything that's natural, natural laws and everything else. And we start combating the things of the elements of this world once again, like the Pharisees and Sadducees did. And I can imagine Jesus saying, man, everything I taught to dozen years ago was just a big waste for you, was it? It was just a big old waste of time because you're still not getting the fact that I am not concerned, nor do I care about the world system and what's going on. You're called to shine and be a light in dark places. You're called to be, you know, salt in the earth, that flavor, you know, could be added and bring forth something, another flavor of understanding who Christ is with people. You know, I mean, on and on and on. And so here is the place of adultery. And here's a place of, look, I'm not concerned with this. I'm concerned with the fact of what you're doing in your heart. And how can that even manifest? Because Jesus knew that, look, if you've done it in your heart, here's the reality of it. The more you commit adultery in your heart, eventually thoughts become things. Eventually it's going to manifest in your life. You're going to find yourself cheating on your wife or your husband. Because the more you allow those thoughts to happen, which is actually the real truth of the reality of what's going on in you, is what I'm looking at more than anything, since man looks on the outside and God looks on the inside of the heart, then eventually it's going to happen to you anyway. So your thoughts will manifest in reality anyway. So guess what? He's got you on both of them, folks. You do it in your heart, which is what he wants you to focus on more than anything, then he's got you on that level. Then he's got you on the level knowing that because you're going to carry it out eventually because your thoughts are going to manifest as things. And so you go on different scriptures and you understand that the whole time Jesus told us to do things, this is what he told us. He made it very plain to us. You know, here's the things you focus on. Focus on these things. Here's what you need to think about. Isn't it amazing to me how Jesus alluded to the fact of how we should even think? You know, think about these things. And once again, you know, the Sadducees and Pharisees would have never brought this forth. But today, the Sadducees and Pharisees of today love to bring forth things of that deals with the doing process of it. You know, your dress should be this length. You should wear no makeup because it makes you holier. It's the holier movement, whatever that's supposed to mean, which is the most, well, anyway, we won't go there. But it's just, you know, it's almost like slapping Jesus in the face saying, I don't care what you talk about the heart. I'd rather deal with the outside of holiness. That's pretty much what it means. And so you're going in that area, you know. And Sadducees and Pharisees, man, they love to talk about that kind of stuff. Love to talk about outward experience, outward expressions. You know, that's their favorite things to do because it's all about how you look. It's all about if you look holy, you act holy, you know, you dress holy, you talk, you know, the Christianese language, man, then that's what it's about. But yet Jesus the whole time was like, I don't care anything about that kind of stuff. What I'm concerned about is what your heart is displaying, what your heart is putting out, and what it is that your heart is really feeling at that moment. And so that's the whole expression of Christ is, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so we have people today who are alluding to the outward thing, you know, of these things, and we have to combat the natural, you know, political world. And it's amazing to me how Christians are so wrapped up in politics. Now, do I watch, you know, the Democrat and Republican parties? Yeah, I do, on TV. But I don't get that involved in it because I pray about who to vote for. I pray about what I need to do. You know, and some people have an issue with this, but you know, I believe as a true son of God, we should do this. You know, I'm not Republican because I was raised Republican. I'm not Democrat because I was raised Democrat. I think that's the most idiotic thing that you could do, and you're belittling yourself. When you do that, you're putting yourself down, you know, by basically saying, you know, that obviously what you're doing is my parents were smarter than I am, and so I'm just going to do what they tell me to do. I'm going to believe what my environment tells me to believe because obviously it's right. And I've heard people actually argue before saying, well, I'm this way, you know, because of this and this and this, and everything they bring forth, you know, and I've asked them, I said, well, who's the one that said that politically? Who is the candidate that actually said that? Where did this come into motion as a law years ago? They have no clue. Why? Because they're just feeding you a bunch of bull of what the bull that was fed to them. And that's the truth of it, folks. And they have no clue. So you know at that moment, you look at them and you say, do you realize you're a product of your environment? That you can't even think on your own? You can't even produce on your own? That all you are is a robot after your own culture, your own environment? How sad of an existence that is that for us, folks? I don't want to be what my parents were. I don't want to be, not that I would fight against it, deliberately try not to be, but I want to create a world for myself of what God wants me to believe and do. So do I watch these things? Yes. Do I vote according to who I feel God wants me to? And if God tells me to vote for Democrat, I have no issue with that at all. I'll do it. God tells me to vote for Republican, I don't do it anyway. It doesn't bother me. But I'm not going to sit here and get so politically wrapped up, you know, in these avenues because the fact when God says, look, don't go about your see or feel. Don't, you know, the elements of this world, they're going to pass away. And you have a higher call. And when you awaken to being a spirit, having human experience, then all these things to you won't matter. You won't even care if gay people down the street are getting married. It won't bother you. It shouldn't even affect you. Because if it's not in your home, it shouldn't even affect you. Who cares? You know, if somebody is down the street has cancer, here's my argument with most people is this, is if someone down the street is a gay couple down the street, they're married, they live in their home, they live a half a mile down the street from you, what is it in your business of yours or concern of yours that you would want to get so riled up about it unless there's something that's secretly wrong with you that you're not telling people about your own self? Are you with me? Hello? And if that's not the issue, then how come you're not just as upset as 1 mile or half a mile down the street from you when someone is just eaten up with cancer? Does it bother you to that extreme as well? When the Bible makes it plain that Jesus at least alluded to the issues of sickness more than he did anything, and you know, and he died for us that by his stripes we would be healed. And yet, are you just as riled up and as adamant about getting that person to a place where they're free from cancer than you are being bothered by two people who are loving each other, getting married because the law changed? Who cares about that? What I'm concerned about is where are your motives? You know, and what are your motives? And where's your heart really in this world? My heart relies on the fact that Jesus told me to go about doing good, healing all that were sick and oppressed the devil. My job is to go about doing good things. My job is to go about doing good things, healing all that were sick and oppressed the devil. And then you get into people who want to be political with you to say, oh, so you must be for this, you must be for that. Folks, you know, I don't have time for pettiness about answering stupid questions so people can get you or not get you. You know, these questions, folks, are so idiotic, and we've got to move past what somebody is not for. Who cares about that? What I'm concerned about is manifesting the kingdom. You know, one of the greatest things I've learned about Joyce Meyer, Kenneth Copeland, even Joel Osteen. I've learned about all these people, you know, Kenneth Hagin, even Charles Capps. What I've learned in my life about a lot of ministers out there, the reason why that they're still doing good financially, they're still doing good by drawing thousands of people. People are being touched in their ministries. They're changing lives by building faith in people, causing people how to be able to lay hands upon people, causing people to be able to live like Jesus, to focus on the author and finisher of our faith. You know why? Because they don't have time time to get into the namby-pamby political arena and get down to the nitty-gritty of what they believe and what they're for and what they're not for, because they realize, look, why should I when I've awakened to the fact that I'm a spirit having a human experience? If you are a human asleep as a spirit, then you will get involved in these things of how to respond to every issue that comes up in your nation. I'm sorry, but it's true. When you awaken to the fact that your spirit having human experience, you will ascend and transcend past the world's elements, and you'll rely and rest upon the author and finisher of your faith, and you'll realize that Paul said, hey, what's better? I want to be seated in heavenly places. That's where I want to be. And therefore, you know what? You don't go by these childish, immature questions that the world and the religious system wants to ask you. You have to remember this, folks. When the religious system asks you these questions, you have to automatically look at them and say, you know what? That's exactly what the Pharisees and Sadducees would ask me. That's exactly the kind of question they would ask me. Because a true son and daughter of God would say, I don't really care. My job, my role is to love God more than anything in my life, to love my neighbor more than myself, and therefore, because of that, I'm going to do it to the least of these, which is doing it under my Heavenly Father. I'm going to go about doing good, not getting political, not coming against this, law or whatever. I'm going to go about doing good, healing all that were sick and oppressed the devil. If Jesus within three, here's the thing, and I'll close with this. If within a 3.5 year period, Jesus turned the world upside down, and his 12 apostles turned the world upside down, and we have a worldwide movement now called Christianity, and yet all he did was go about doing good. It didn't even say the word godly, folks. It didn't even say the word godly. And just for those who have religious, demons, sitting on your shoulder, he didn't even say godly. It said went about doing good, healing all that were sick and oppressed the devil. Okay? Because he knows that he was God manifest in the flesh. And so because of that, he's letting you know, if you trust me, if you go about doing good to people, loving your neighbors you love yourself, feeding the poor, comforting those who need to be comforted, like at the widows, which we don't see hardly ever today, and Jesus actually alluded and spoke about that, and focusing on manifesting the kingdom here on earth in a spiritual way within the hearts of and the lives of mankind, because the heart is what matters to God. So I'm going to focus on what matters to God more than anything. And as I go about doing that I'm going to see my world turn and change upside down to the kingdom of Lord. And when that begins to happen, folks, you have more peace, you have more tranquility, you have more love, and you know you're making such a more of an effect upon the hearts of people, as opposed to rallying up a bunch of religious fanatics who basically are going about trying to get more involved in the world's systematic way of living, when God is saying you have completely abandoned the kingdom of God. You're more concerned with trying to work my work on earth than you are actually dying and denying yourself and taking up your cross and following me, focusing on the plank in your own eye as opposed to worrying about the plank in everyone else's eye. You have totally just slapped Jesus right in the face, and you're totally going against everything that Jesus himself established for us to do on earth. And I hate to be so blunt about certain words, folks, but that's the reality of it is you're literally mocking him when you don't do what he wants you to do. And I've had several people ask me, Jeremy, why do you think people don't want to do that? Why do you think people don't want to do that? And here's what I tell them. I say, you really want to know? Yeah, tell me. I said, because it's not a show. It's not a show. It's not an outward expression for them. When you deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him daily, when you decrease and he can increase in you, when you love your neighbors who is Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, atheist, when you take care of the woman down the street that has cancer and you're feeding her, clothing her, providing her money, taking her to the hospital, when you're taking care of the widows down the street, when you're going to the gay couple's house down the street, that is there, whether they're married or not, who gives a crap? Pardon my expression, folks, but you're going to their house and you're carrying them a welcome basket to the neighborhood, and you're telling them how much you love them, and you care for them, and if you ever need anything, I'm there for them. That, my friend, is Jesus. That's exactly what Jesus told us to do. And the reason why people don't like to do that kind of stuff is because it's not a scene. You see, it's easier for me as a Pharisee to get in the public arena, make a big spectacle about coming against all these laws, being that person out there, and making a difference for everybody to see me, what I stand for in the kingdom of God, and how I'm going to change this world. Folks, you're never going to change the world system. Get over it. You're never going to change the world system. Not going to happen. And you have never been called to, according to Scripture, to change the world system. Not even scriptural. And so when you look at that, you understand that if it's not showy, then people look at that and say, I can't be a part of it. Because as a Pharisee, I've got to be showy. As a Pharisee, I've got to be seen by the public. As a Pharisee, I've got to have people, you know, give me accolades because I'm making a difference for the God's kingdom on earth by coming against these laws and this and this and this. But when you look at the reality of it, folks, and you say, it's not showy to do the things that Jesus wanted to do, then you realize your accolades doesn't come from this world. And the love and everything else will not be seen all the time. But God made it very plain to you. What's done in secret shall be rewarded openly. And this is the kingdom of God, folks. Amen. So thank you again for tuning into our podcast today. And if many of you want to know more about our teachings, or maybe if you want to call the office and say, hey, is there something that maybe I can actually, you know, learn from? I love Jeremy's teachings or whatever. What would be good for me concerning this area of my life or that area of my life? We would love more than anything to be able to bring something to you. My customer service can offer something to you that would benefit you, empower you. So like I said, just give us a call at 205-362-7133. That's 205-362-7133. All right. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you again for your support of this ministry. It means a lot to us. And please, folks, let's continue to be Jesus. Let's continue to get down the simplicity of who our amazing God is in this life. God bless.